Santa Aurelia LLC pays for this show. The views expressed by the hosts and guests on Inside Track are their own and may not reflect those of KVOI, but they should.
People try to put us to down.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation.
Hope I die before I get old. Dig what we all say. I'm not trying to cause a big sensation. I'm just talking about my generation.
Hello, insiders, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be. This is your host, Bruce Ash, along with Inside Track co-host
Eb Wilkinson,
welcoming you to a special Impeachment 2.0 edition of Inside Track. Thanks for tuning in this lovely afternoon. It is another great winter day. This is why we live in Arizona, isn't it? Not, however,
it is
June through August and parts of September and October. But wow, what a day.
Tomorrow, absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, tomorrow is the Super Bowl. Will the GOAT from Tampa Bay win, or will it be the kid from KC? Well, we'll see tomorrow by about 8 p.m. In any event, we're glad you tuned in today. And if you're a new listener, we're glad to have you along with us today because we have another great show. Eb, how are you?
I'm doing great. My house is coming together. The laundry room is beautiful.
As beautiful as a laundry room
is beautiful
be
as a, it's even more beautiful than that. Dave came out, took a look at Tammy's stuff, going to come back with some drawings and
good.
See how we do there.
Well, they do a nice job with their designing, just like they do at Corazon Cabinets with their product and their installs. Hey, I want to tell our listeners that, and Eb doesn't know I'm going to say anything about this, and I'm not going to give any details, but, you know, this is a guy, he's a wealth manager, and he helps people figure out how to not have to depend upon socialized security at all. But this is a guy who, you know, you can always tell the specialness of somebody who do things when nobody is looking in, okay? When they don't think that anybody is going to praise them for it. But he did something for my wife, and it was something completely unbelievable and unexpected and something that we weren't able to get done ourselves. And she's very happy about it, even though she did have to become a member of the family.
Member of the tribe.
Well, you know, you have to get a little bit of surgical procedure
exactly
to really be part of the tribe. But this guy Eb Wilkinson, he's a really, really special guy, and if he's willing to do these types of things for people, and my wife didn't have to ask, I didn't have to ask at all. He did it on his own. This is the guy that I think you really want to have helping you with your family and your wealth management. Okay, sending happy...
Thank you, Bruce.
You bet. My pleasure. Sending happy birthday wishes to my sister Jackie, born today in 1953. We were Irish twins about 9.5 months apart. Poor kid, she's got a cold. We were supposed to celebrate her birthday tonight, but I guess that'll have to wait. Anyway, wacky happy birthday, and we'll see you soon. We welcome your calls to the show, 790-2040. Eb and I will be chatting it up until the bottom of the hour, when old friend and our Inside Track resident Bidenologist, George Bardmesser, calls in from the swamp to talk everything about Biden. So in the meantime, we welcome your calls on any topic to us on the Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus Hotline, 790-2040. This portion of the show is brought to you by my co-host, Eb Wilkinson, and his partner, Gary Imus from Imus Wilkinson Investment Management, whose baby steps approach to your wealth management is designed so you never have to solely depend on socialized security. Call Eb at 777-1911 and let him help you also. This Tuesday, at about 11 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. The Senate is set to consider impeachment 2.0 against Donald Trump for high crimes and misdemeanors to incite riot and insurrection during the January 6th Capitol break-in and melee. Will this be a real trial or a political show trial? You be the judge.
Well, it's taking place in Australia, so it's the kangaroo court.
Yeah. The House ginned up articles of impeachment at light speed. The debate, if you really could call it that, was rushed because the Democrats, who had already failed once to impeach and convict President Donald Trump, wanted one more opportunity before his term ended to beat their chest, kick the president in the ass, and achieve their twofold goal. First, to serve a lesson to anyone with the testicular strength he had to challenge the status quo ever again, and thereby perpetuating the ruling class, the elite class, and more importantly, Democrats who wanted to use the trial, they wanted to use this trial to prevent the former president from ever being legally qualified to run for president in 2024, because after all, they hate him because they fear him. And in the bargain, try to decapitate the Republican Party and achieve one party rule in this country going forward. The case being made by the twisted House impeachment managers fails because they do not have the votes to convict. They do not have a case because the facts just don't support their accusations. Their case fails because bills of attainder are anti-constitutional. Their case fails because they ran out of time to pursue impeachment during the time the president was actually still the president and not a president, as the articles refer to. And finally, their case under normal circumstances would be declared a mistrial in any American court because these political brutalist boobs attempted to force the former president to testify in this show trial and to boot inferred that his failure to do so would be considered an admission of guilt, which in any court of law would compel a lawful and impartial judge, which the anti-Republican, and that's with a small r, the anti-Republican and highly partisan Senator Patrick Leahy, who is running this sham, that judge would have to immediately declare a mistrial. These spoiled leftist BLM Democrats, socialists, Antifa narcissists running the Congress care more about their power than the Constitution, more about canceling 74 million American votes, more about ramming deceptive agenda down our throats. And history will note that this was an act akin to the Salem witch trials from the 17th century, and maybe even the Stalinist purge trials in the 1930s, which later led to great unrest. Republican men and women, I'm just a former National Party leader with no formal standing since my retirement last summer. Many of my RNC colleagues once thought of me as a thought leader amongst our membership, perhaps, but today I'm just a citizen like you and your humble radio host. I am embarrassed by my political party, by the leadership that's not calling out, as I have here, to decry the anti-American action taken by leftists in the Congress, and not yelling at the top of their lungs wherever they can against this unjust case brought against the president, our political party, our elected public officials, who could be next, Josh Hawley comes to mind, and future public officials, our Constitution, and each citizen of our great country also. Schumer, Pelosi, Schiff, the impeachment manager, and the rest of the Trump-deranged Democrat demagogue leaders have gone far, and our grand old party is not doing nearly enough to stand up against these bullies who have perverted the Constitution and weaponized Congress while they themselves are guilty of malfeasance and corruption of their powers. If our leadership won't act, then we, the people, must rise and speak out. On this day, the 110th birthday of another great American Republican president, Ronald Reagan, I'm asking you to stand up for our Constitution, for our country, and our future, and call this illegal action by the party in power for what it is, a disgrace. And we Americans must vow to rectify their many injustices and misdeeds in the upcoming midterm election, which is less than 23 months away. Mr. Producer, we're up against our first break. I think we had Tom Danahy holding on the line, but I guess he didn't like what I was saying. So maybe he'll come back. Maybe he won't. I guess it's up to him. When we return, Eb and I will take your calls, maybe even including Tom Danahy, on any topic you want. So stay tuned, and I promise we'll be back in just a jiffy. I'm proud to welcome my good friends at Tucson Iron and Metal Retail to Inside Track as an advertiser. Jamie Kipper and her staff are conservation experts. They sell round and square steel tubing, metal plate and roofing materials, as well as new and used steel, aluminum, and stainless steel to ranchers, artists, interior designers, roofers, and do-it-yourselfers, just like all of the listeners here. Tucson Iron and Metal Retail is open Monday through Fridays, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 a.m. to noon. Tucson Iron and Steel Retail, 701 East 36th Street. Call 520-209-1576 or go to TucsonIronRetail.com. And when you do call, mention this ad and receive an additional 10% discount on their already great prices.
It's termite season.
Bugs fear the blue trucks from Essential Pest Control.
Go blue at Essential Pest Control. We'll eliminate those bugs, bees, and termites. And stop paying too much to that national provider. Buy local for great service and affordable rates. Call Essential Pest Control because termites fear the blue.
Run for your life.
Call for the blue trucks from Essential Pest Control. 886-3029. That's 886-3029. Or check online at EssentialPest.com.
Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Wouldn't it be great if political leaders could create that country again? Learn how to do exactly that, one family at a time, with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. Call me, Eb Wilkinson. IMUSWilkinson.com, 777-1911, 777-1911.
Welcome back to Inside Track. This portion of today's show brought to you by my friends Jamie and Gary Kipper from Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus, plus Essential Termite and Pest Control. Fear the blue. These are two great locally owned family businesses you can depend upon. I do. So do you. Hey, Eb, in the break period, and maybe Danahy will call back. I think maybe he was either being chased by a Tucson police officer for talking on his cell phone while driving, or maybe he was pulling into a Popeyes to order a family feast.
Oh, don't tease Tom. I like him.
Seriously, Tom, call back if you like. It'd be good to be able to make fun of you. So during the break, Eb was saying that the one thing he sees all of this impeachment and all the other political stuff going on is helping to tear up the Republican Party. Elaborate, please, good sir.
It is. So you've got people that are going against Liz Cheney, saying, oh, you did a terrible thing by voting against Trump. You know, whether we believe that or not, you know, let's not fight amongst ourselves. You know, at least let's not fight and make it public among ourselves.
Well, there is something called party discipline. And when somebody who is a party leader does what she does, you know, it is proper to have that conversation. mean, the conversation should take place. They may or may, I mean, we'll see what happens. Maybe it was a good idea that the Republicans didn't force her out of her leadership position, but we'll see. Well, it looks as though Mr. Danahy has called us back.
Tom.
Tom, was it a stop into Popeyes that got you off off your phone, or was it the Tucson police? Take your pick, either one, man.
Well, first of all, I'm in Oro Valley, which means the police are always a threat, but I don't know. I was driving along. I use hands-free. I would never talk on a cell phone
of course while not.
Driving. And I just have two questions. Well, for one, I have to make a tiny correction. You said that the Democrats failed to impeach. They've impeached twice.
They failed to convict. Pardon me.
Right, but they have impeached.
So,
okay, so I mean, and so, the average person doesn't understand the difference between those two terms, but they did impeach.
So,
second thing is, this is a very basic question for you and Ed. I'm not going to argue about whether he should be convicted. Very basic question. Is there such a thing as the January exception?
And I mean, would that be?
Can a future president commit some heinous crime the day before his term is over and then walk free?
What would that heinous crime be?
I'm not saying that Trump did anything. Okay. I am not going to go down that road. Can a president get away with something he did right before his term ends just because his term is over?
Well, you know, Tom, maybe that is a topic for a later show and for us to be able to attract a constitutional lawyer who might be able to answer that question. So I appreciate your raising
really
that.
You really think somebody can get away with something while they're still president?
Well, if something like that did happen, I guess it's worth a discussion. And if you think it happened, fine, good on you. I think it's worth a conversation with somebody who has more knowledge than I, but I'm glad that you brought it up. What else is on your mind, big fella?
Well, I wrote my column this week. I don't know if you read it.
Is that thing still open for business? Are they still doing the ads for the strippers and the escort services?
No, I think they've moved on to marijuana.
All right.
I mean, they're hanging on by their fingernails. Obviously, a lot of businesses are struggling. But, Bruce, you and I are about the same age. When I was growing up, California was back and forth between Republicans and Democrats. And now, I mean, obviously, the current California congressional delegation is 42 Democrats and 11 Republicans. And I sincerely wonder... whether Arizona's heading in the same direction.
Well, you know what, Tom? We have another guy that is on the line waiting to chime in who would love to talk with you, maybe about that, but anything else that he likes. It is Charles Heller, none other than American Armed and Free Charles Heller. And we have Tom and Charles hopefully on the line all at one time. Charles, are you there? Hello, Charles.
Actually raises a pretty good question, I think, and a legitimate question, as to whether or not somebody can get away with something just because they're in the lame duck portion of their term. It's actually a decent and honest question.
I agree.
And the answer to it is contained in the Constitution, in the clause about impeachment, where it says that even if he's impeached, the penalty can't reach beyond impeachment and banning him in the future. However, nothing will stop them from being prosecuted.
Sure.
And if President Trump did something that is criminal, then I don't think there's anybody, conservative or liberal or any other political stripe, libertarian, that thinks that if something he did was criminal, he shouldn't have to answer for that.
Spiro Agnew did.
Right, exactly. But Spiro Agnew actually got indicted for things he did before he was vice president.
That's true.
So, but what I'm suggesting to you is that there is a process for that, and I think that if the president were to be accused of that, he would have to go through the same process that anyone else would. Don't you, Tom?
I do. This is Tom, unarmed and free.
Good for you.
We can fix that.
I respect your right to be as unarmed as you wish.
That's right.
Okay.
And I think no less of you for it.
I like Charles. We all got along great. Anyway, the thing is, honestly, that was my question, Bruce. And you know what? Obviously, he's not going to be convicted. I would have impeached him for that phone call he made to the Georgia Secretary of State begging for more votes. That's
okay.
Ridiculous.
All right.
I'm a sports guy. One of the biggest things about sports is learning how to lose and not being a B-word about it when you do lose.
Hey, all Tom.
Right. Yes.
Tom, serious question.
Yes.
What about Biden standing up on camera saying that he told the people over there in, not Russia,
Ukraine.
You don't get the $1 billion if you don't get rid of that guy.
Who was prosecuting his son.
Then bring him up on charges. I swear. I mean, obviously, may he rest in peace. Emil and I had this discussion all the time. They, you know, you start...
Hang on, Gary. We're going to get to you.
What about Hunter Biden? Well, no. What about the Trump kids? You know what? Put them all on trial and let's see what happens. I'm not saying, oh, he's innocent and he's guilty. You got charges, bring them.
All right.
If you got nothing, shut up.
Bring on the charges. Tom, Charles, thanks very much. We've got Gary, who's been hanging on now for a little over three minutes. Gary, you're on Inside Track with Ab and Bruce. What do you have to say?
Well, the problem with bring on the charges is anybody can put up a lawsuit.
Yep.
And the judge will say, that is a frivolous lawsuit. And I would like to propose the terminology for the last two impeachments are frivolous impeachments. You can throw all the lawsuits you want. But like the last caller said, you can do that, but they're frivolous.
Well, talking about frivolous and maybe not frivolous, there was a report earlier today that appears to confirm that Hunter Biden still holds a stake in the Chinese private equity firm that he and his dad say that he didn't have anymore. What do you think about that?
Well, it all comes out in the investigation and where the facts are presented. What they've been doing is just frivolous. There's nothing there. The sad thing that I just heard was that Adam Schiff will now be trying for the Attorney General of California.
Yeah, that's rich, isn't it?
Yes. Well, thank you for your show.
You bet. Thanks for calling in. Hey, Claudia Tenney was just certified the winner of the last U.S. House race that was open. And this earlier this week also showed that the woman in the Iowa seat also won her race. And as soon as those happened, House Democrats were reported today considering a panel to decide on seating these two winners to the U.S. House. I mean, there is nothing at all that is off limits for the Democrats, it seems, Eb.
No, what do you mean they're considering a panel to decide on seating them? They were elected.
They were elected, for crying out loud. And they went through quite a process to do that. I mean, they were counting down the votes. You know, literally, it was hand-to-hand combat at the very end.
The Democrats were challenging the election. Oh, wait.
Is Charles still on the line?
Charles?
Charles?
Well, one of the interesting things about it was that the lawyer for the person opposing the Republican candidate was actually claiming voter fraud.
Oh, jeez.
Isn't that strange?
Well, yeah, I'm shocked. Shocked to find there's gambling.
Yeah, shocked that anyone would say that. But
yeah.
But I want to respond to what the previous caller said
about
a frivolous impeachment. While he may be accurate about that, the question, and this is really important as to why it's a question, is jurisdiction. Because the Senate shall have sole control, the sole authority over impeachment. And the problem is the structure of it is such that the way the Constitution is written, if the Senate chooses to have an impeachment trial, the Senate is solely in control of that. And there is no one to declare it frivolous. What I think would have been funny is if Mr. Chief Justice Roberts had come, sat in the procedure, declared it out of order, and adjourned it. as the as the officer presiding over it.
Charles, that would truly have been funny,
but I don't think he would have done. I don't think he's got the testicular fortitude to do it.
I think what he did, Charles, by not taking the case, showed that he felt that it was frivolous and it was strictly a political stunt by the Democrats.
He rendered it moot by doing that.
Well, he did.
But yet,
there will be. I heard Jay Sekulow earlier, who reported earlier today that he thinks there the part one of this trial, after charges are brought, will be to talk about the constitutionality of whether or not this is a valid case to bring, and it's likely that that conversation will happen. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with it. It's pretty much, split along party lines right now. All right, we're going to Charles. Thanks very much for that rejoinder, and we're going to go ahead and take our break. And when we return, we will have our friend George Bardmesser, a well-known opinion writer, lawyer from the Swamp. He'll be joining us from out in the Swamp. You're listening to Sidetrack. This is Bruce. I'm here with Eb. We'll be right back. Jamie Kipper and her father, Gary Kipper, from Tucson Iron and Metal. What are they going to see when they come through the gates?
So when they come on in, they'll see our building up front. People have free rein to then go out and look in the yard. So it's not a typical scrapyard with a ton of big machinery. We have a couple of forklifts around, but that's about it, just to help move material. So when you come in, it's all organized by material, whether it's square tubing, angle iron, roofing, and then there is a pile in the back, which is still organized and easy to get through, but that's stuff that comes over from the scrap. So we're unique in that we get stuff in from the scrap, which a lot of artists and people will like or reuse, whether it's a sink that someone needs for their house. We sell literally anything made of metal.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.
It's termite season.
Bugs fear the blue trucks from Essential Pest Control.
Go blue at Essential Pest Control.
We'll eliminate those bugs, bees, and termites.
And stop paying too much to that national provider.
Buy local for great service and affordable rates.
Call Essential Pest Control because termites fear the blue.
Run for your life!
Call for the blue trucks from Essential Pest Control. 886-3029. That's 886-3029. Or check online at essentialpest.com.
I'm Eb Wilkinson with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. I don't ever want you to be dependent on government ever again. I want you to become financially independent. You will never, ever have to depend on socialist security for your survival. We are here to guide you to financial independence. That's imuswilkinson.com, 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Oh, hey, welcome back to Inside Track.
We're here.
You know, I changed the format, eliminating the bump music, and Tom is pointing his finger at me on the other side of the glass.
Saying, wake up.
And I'm picking my nose. What can I tell you? Anyway, before we get to our guest, George Bardmesser, do you have a home improvement project you want to get going, but you're worried if you can afford the luxury you deserve? Corazon Cabinets sells top quality cabinets by J&K, Legacy, and Conestoga. Visit the Corazon crew at their new showroom located at 4700 South Park Avenue, or they'll come to your house. Meet Joy, Allie, and David to see their fabulous collection and let them plan the kitchen or bath of your dreams. Call Corazon Cabinets 488-2244 and get to work on beautifying your home in 2021. Corazon Cabinets, luxury you can afford. Okay, live from the Swamp, our friend, welcome George Bardmesser, who has his PhD in Bidenism. It's been too long. Welcome back.
It has been too long.
We're 2.5 weeks into the Biden administration. Is Sleepy Joe living up to your expectations?
Worse. I mean, my expectations were way below zero. Biden has managed to go even below that. Now, just to be clear, I mean, I want to make one thing clear. Biden is not my president, okay? I do not consider him my president. I do not consider him a legitimate president. He's a fraud. Okay. Yes, he happens to be in the Oval Office. I'm aware of that. But as far as I'm concerned, he is not my president. I mean, he is sort of like a Hugo Chavez, you know, with all the charisma of Punxsutawney Phil. You know, but the people who are in charge of this administration now, they're not, okay? They're not stupid. I mean, the Venezuelanization of America is proceeding apace and is frightening. So, yeah, Biden is, you know, is he living up to my expectations? I mean, he's probably living up to the expectations of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Rashida Tlaib and people like that. So,
did you see that meltdown with Tlaib the other day in the House when they were talking about the incursion at the Capitol building? And she starts crying and sobbing, and AOC runs over to support her and console her.
She wasn't even there. I mean, they were looking at a different building, for Christ's sake. I mean, what a joke. I mean, she has PTSD because in some other building, some people, you know, were stealing Nancy Pelosi's lectern. I mean, if you can believe that. I mean, that is like the big take from all this. You know, like some people, you know, got into the Capitol and what was the damage? They stole Pelosi's lectern, that wooden lectern that she stands behind.
Did they get their iPad? Did they get her iPad as well?
Her laptop.
Laptop. Oh, that must be interesting.
Oh, hey, my God. Well, I mean, you know,
traded for Hunters.
They did call out the National Guard.
Eb said maybe we ought to do a one-for-one swap with Hunter Biden's laptop.
I'm not sure that Nancy Pelosi actually knows how to use a laptop. my wife, actually, believe it or not, is a flight attendant, and Nancy Pelosi was on her flight one time. So she did not use a laptop. You know, she sat there and read the Wall Street Journal. Now, Nancy Pelosi, of course, is worth about $250 million. Okay, so you can see why she'd be reading the Wall Street Journal. But I don't think she knows how to use a laptop. I mean, you know, she's definitely losing it these days. You know, she's not all there, I don't think. I mean, Biden is not all there, for Christ's sake. I mean, I was actually, believe it or not, I was forced to listen to Biden's inauguration address because later that day I was a talking head on Russian TV about Biden's, you know, inauguration address. So I actually had to listen to it. And it was probably one of the most unpleasant and depressing experiences of my life.
Mark, hold on.
An hour. He said nothing. He literally said nothing in that half an hour. Now, he almost fell asleep by the end. I mean, he almost fell asleep in the middle, too. You know, some of the people around him did fall asleep. I mean, there's video of Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton, yeah, notably.
Yeah, while Biden is, you know, babbling on. And on and on, and like you could kind of see that in the first 10 minutes, you know, he still had a little energy there. But as the minutes wore on, he was just basically drooping off. You know, and every once in a while, he would remember that, oh, I gotta like say it with feeling, and he would like, you know, scream something.
George, hang on for just a second. Mark's been holding for about 7 minutes here. He has a comment, and let's take his comment real quick, and then we'll get back to Sleepy Joe. Mark, go ahead. You're on with George Bartmesser here on Inside Track.
Yes, I really didn't want to interrupt George Bartmesser. I really enjoy him on your show.
He's cool, isn't he?
Come back. Yes, he's great. And what I wanted to mention was so much, but that's one thing. Yesterday, February 5th, was an anniversary, 1945, February 5th, two of my grandfather's sisters were exchanged out of Theresienstadt, and a lot of people don't know what that is.
Yeah, but, I do.
So it was a Nazi concentration camp in today's Czech Republic. But,
yeah.
After many years, whatever. So the point I'm trying to make is, they were there. Their families, their husbands, and their children were the United States. This is a big, long story, but they weren't U.S. citizens, and they ended up getting caught up with a whole mess in Bavaria and Germany under you-know-what. And nobody thought that that would have ever happened, that what happened would have ever happened. And that's happening to us. I see it happening. It's a terrifying thing that I see happening here in the United States. And already in the House, there's some sort of a bill trying to make its way through that causes inspections. They're going to have a commissar looking at your firepower equipment, looking at your guns and ammunition and all of your ancillary equipment with it, and determining whether it's something that you're going to pay lots of money to keep, or where you're going to have, if you're going to have to give it up, whatever. It's going to be a big bag thing if they ever get it through. Maybe it won't go through this time, but eventually it may go through. These kinds of things will go through, and we are without a well-armed militia.
Hey, Mark, thanks for calling. I'm going to talk to George on kind of the point that you're making about how many things are happening here. So thanks for calling in. George, when the president isn't passing a 5,600-page, $2 trillion government bailout for cities and states and school districts posing as COVID relief, he has been mainly ruling by executive order, certainly Second Amendment issues being one of them. What do you make of this guy? The Democrats railed against President Trump for executive orders, but he's had like four times as many executive orders in the same period of time as President Trump did.
I think he's up to like well over 40 at this point. I guess depending on what you count as an executive order, sometimes they're styled a little differently. But Trump had, I don't know, like four or five in his first few weeks. You know, Biden has 10 times that many. Biden himself actually said that, you know, a president should not rule this way.
He was talking owns both sides of Congress. What does he need to, you know, what's his rush? He could do this by congressional decree, right?
Well, put it this way. All of these executive orders that he's signing, I mean, any one of them, you look at it and it is bad. Every single one of them is a blow to normal, you know, working Americans, whether Biden is destroying jobs, whether he's admitting, you know, 100,000 refugees from Syria and Yemen and who the hell knows where from. I mean, all of these, the direct beneficiaries of all of these executive orders are not Americans. Okay, let's just get that straight.
Right.
The direct beneficiaries are China, Iran, you know, North Korea, Venezuela, PLO, Hezbollah, you know, Putin. I mean, these are the people who benefit from it. The people who lose are regular working Americans. So if you're working in the energy industry, you're screwed because you don't have a job anymore.
You know,
I said recently
in a tweet that America first has become America last under Biden.
Not even in the line anymore. I mean, you know, Biden, I think Biden is unaware that he has 4 years to destroy the United States. I mean, he's
doing it.
Yeah. And he's in a rush.
Yeah, he's in a hurry to destroy everything. I mean, you know, most presidents are happy if they create, you know, thousands of jobs. Biden is ecstatic that he's destroying jobs. Every day he's destroying jobs.
He killed about 100,000 jobs between Keystone and the gas drilling permits, which he has on hold, which the people in New Mexico and Alaska are going crazy over.
And also the supporting jobs that go with that.
Right. And then drops any funding for building the border wall. I mean, 100,000 jobs on day one. I mean, that's got to be an all-time record. He set a new standard for anybody to follow, right?
He's just getting started. Now, destroying jobs is just part of it. 52,000 people are dead of coronavirus since Biden took office. Okay, 52,000 people. Now, this is a guy who said from the moment he gets into the Oval Office, he's going to move heaven and earth, you know, to do something about it. Then, of course, it turns out he doesn't have a plan. He never had a plan.
Right.
So just do the math. Every minute, okay, every minute of every day that Biden has been in office, two people die of coronavirus, which is about three times the rate that Trump has. Okay, so, I mean, I think they should probably send Biden to The Hague for a trial for genocide or something. I mean, why not? I mean, forget impeachment, just try and put genocide.
You're on fire.
Know? The press complained when Trump was playing golf on weekends, but at least we knew that he was alive and that he was sentient. You know, in Biden's case, nobody knows what he's doing. I mean,
does he still reside in the basement of the White House?
Who knows? I mean, you know, he calls a lid most days, like around 9, Okay, and usually he's not seen again. Nobody knows what he does on weekends at all. I mean, there's like nothing on his, usually on his schedule. He doesn't go anywhere. I'm guessing that he kind of sits there and drools and watches Gilligan's Island on TV.
Oh, my God.
He's in love with Ginger. George.
Yeah, whether he can feed himself is an open question.
George.
I honestly cannot watch, like, when Biden, like, videos of Biden, like, I had to watch the speech, the inauguration speech, because it was sort of my job, okay? Watching Biden is just painful. Like, you know that video where he signs something and he tries to put the pen into his suit pocket? I don't know if you saw that.
So
it's not a complicated thing. You take a pen and you put it into your pocket. Okay, most people learn how to do that by the time they're about like 7. All right. So Biden is sitting there and he's trying. For like 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, and he can't do it. Now this is the guy who has the nuclear launch codes. Okay, this is the guy. This is the guy who can launch the ICBMs.
And you're assuming people are trusting him with those codes.
Yeah, I mean, it is unbelievable, you know. But one reason why I can't watch videos of Biden is because, you know, like, you look at him and, like, he's got this weird expression on his face and, like, his posture. And I'm always thinking that, did he just do a number two into his diaper? I mean, that's what I'm thinking every time that I see Biden. And a lot of times it does look, my wife hates it when I bring this up, but my father, who watches,
I like your wife already.
Well, my father, who watches a lot of TV, you know, on the morning of the inauguration, he calls me and like, did you see it? I'm like, see what? Well, I was watching Fox, he says, and I think Biden just like did it like live on TV.
Hey,
and I'm like,
George,
really?
We just,
that it happened.
I just received a text message from one of our listeners, said George is being insulting to Gilligan's Island.
Well, Gilligan's Island was like way before my time. Okay? I don't think I've ever watched a single episode.
You got to watch it.
I've always wondered how the women managed to do, like, do you have their hair like perfectly done and their nails have like polished?
Don't worry about the details, George.
It's a 3-hour tour. Don't worry.
Right. But yeah, Biden, you know, like, when was the last time that Biden answered a single meaningful question? Like, one question. I mean, from the press. I'm not talking about things like, you know, what kind of milkshake or what flavor of milkshake he likes or which socks he's wearing. Like, an actual question from the press.
Fox News.
So you raise a very, very good point, George. I mean, the amount of fluff that the media has treated this president and his press secretary, the press secretary, Jen Psaki, who says, I'll circle back with you on that, about 85 times. What is it with these guys? Are they afraid to answer the questions, or do they just not have a plan?
Well, the press isn't, the weird thing is that, Biden, I can't remember the last time, maybe it was 5 years ago that Biden actually answered a question. The weird thing is that our journalists, nobody is bothered by this. Not one person. I mean, there's Biden who hasn't answered a single question in like half a decade from the press. Not a single journalist is bothered by this. Not a bit. They have no interest in even asking him questions. I mean, every once in a while, yeah, like Jen Psaki, or Psaki, however the hell you say her name, you know, she gets like sort of an uncomfortable question, you know, and then she like goes through her papers, whatever, there's obviously no answer there. I mean, she's like, she's one of the worst secretaries, you know, we've had in a while, because she can't answer anything, all right? And then I'll circle back to you, and it never happens if nobody ever asks the question again. Now, imagine if this was Kayleigh McEnany, okay? If she doesn't answer the question, they'd be at her, you know, like
at her throat.
Yes.
You know, yeah, they would literally like tear her throat out. You know, if she even misspoke a single word,
right?
You know, this would be, you know, not on nightly. This would be the lead story on nightly news. Whereas, Jen Psaki, I think her biggest concern is, does everyone think that she's a really hot babe?
And okay, why is she not wearing a mask during the briefings?
Or whatever. Like, screw the mask. Forget the mask. I mean,
No, she's violating Biden's order.
Well, so is Biden.
And so, yeah.
All right, let me change the topic just a little bit. Let me change the topic just a little bit. Let's go to the Lincoln Project. Do you have, what are your thoughts about them? Jennifer Horne just resigned as the chairman or organizational leader or whatever the heck she was. Lincoln Project, go.
I'm on her side, okay? When she wants more money to take part in this, pederastic cabal of pedophiles, I agree she deserves more money. I mean, let's face it, what is the original purpose of the Lincoln Project, okay? The first purpose is grift, okay? These people are a bunch of scammers, right, and they scam a lot of people out of a lot of money, okay? The second purpose is, and forgive me for the anatomical sort of detail, but most of these people want to engage in anal sex with young boys.
God, can we just say that? Can we say that here at KVOI?
I think we can.
Okay, all right, all right.
Tom's giving us the nod.
Yeah, no, we can't?
No, we can. We're good. We can.
We're good.
Yeah. I mean, this is what these people are about, okay? This is what they want to do. I mean, this is what they're grooming young boys for, all right? So if there is some other purpose to the Lincoln Pedophile Project, I'm unaware of it. So getting back to this Jennifer person, I mean, she has reputational, costs that go with being involved with basically a bunch of pederasts, right? So she needs to be paid for it. She's perfectly reasonable in asking for a lot of money. I mean, where is she
going to
be?
But $250,000 signing bonus and $40,000 a month?
Who is going to hire her after this? I mean, think about it. You work, everybody around you is a suspected, it's like, to find a predator. Like, have you seen pictures of these people?
Right.
I mean, they look like sexual predators.
They do.
Okay? So she is involved in it. She knows that she is unemployable after this. So, of course she wants money. I mean, this is one of those, career-killing moves. And if she's going to make it, she wants to be paid for it. Now, why the Lincoln Project got all, fluffed up about it, I don't know. I don't know. So I'm on her side in this dispute. I think they should pay her the money that she was asking, because being associated with these people definitely kills your reputation, probably forever.
So
imagine she walks into a room at a cocktail party, 10 years from now. Every single person looks at her and thinks, this is the woman who was working with a bunch of pedophiles.
Jennifer.
Do you want to be that woman?
I've known Jennifer.
So she needs to be paid for it.
I've known Jennifer the better part of the last decade. She was just about the most insignificant member of the Republican National Committee. She was more a Democrat than she was a Republican, even at the height of her power in her state party run. And I don't have much regard for her at all, nor do most of my former friends at the RNC. Christopher Wray was retained at the FBI. How convenient is that? What do you make of his retention by President Biden, George?
I'm not surprised. I mean, why wouldn't he? I mean, Christopher Wray did absolutely nothing for Trump. I mean, he basically slow-walked or sabotaged pretty much everything that Trump was doing. I don't know that he was a Biden plant all along, but he certainly was no friend of Trump. I mean, this is actually one of the biggest problems that I think the Trump administration had, finding actual loyal people who do things that needed to be done. And it's a problem being Trump being an outsider. Being an outsider, who do you rely on? Well, that's the dilemma.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised. I don't think Ray is any worse than any other bureaucrat that they can find within the FBI. I mean, the FBI's reputation, frankly, has sunk so low by now that I'm not sure anybody can rescue it. Mm-hmm. I mean, really. There's so many things that, remember the election, for Christ's sake. I mean, so many things that should have been investigated. Now, what did the FBI actually investigate? Well, a traffic situation in Texas. Remember that Biden bus?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
The FBI was on that instantly. I mean, I don't know how many agents they sent to investigate that. What did they find? maybe the Biden bus made the wrong turn somewhere, okay, or they didn't signal left when they should have signaled or something. Okay, that was what they found. But the FBI was right on top of that situation. Okay, now we have the election, and we are reading now that there really is a vast left-wing conspiracy, okay, to steal the election. Has the FBI done anything? Anything? If they have, I'm unaware of it. I mean,
Not a thing.
The new DNI, the new Director of National Intelligence, has been asked by the administration to assess, quote, domestic terrorism. So your opinion, George, which is the more heightened urgency, domestic terrorism of the right or the left?
Well, I'm not aware of much domestic terrorism on the right. Just biographically, I'm 55 years old. I mean, I came to this country when I was 13, so that was in 1978, okay? So for 42 years I have been here, I have never once seen or met a single white supremacist, okay? In my whole life, 42 years that I've been here, I have never once met a white supremacist. I've never seen one, not even from a distance. I have not. Now, I'm not saying they don't exist. But now we're finding out all of a sudden that pretty much half the country is white supremacist.
Right. And, 74 million of us.
74 million, yes.
Right. And they need to maybe go to some re-education camps. In the military, they're about to do a big purge.
Right.
Austin, the new Secretary of Defense, essentially, if you've ever expressed support for the Republican Party, your career in the military is over.
Yep.
Okay, so they only want Biden voters in the military now.
What do you make, George, of this this post, this reality czar?
I think it's a joke. I mean,
to a communist level.
Well, you know what? All these things are part of a pattern. Think back to Venezuela. You know, I keep harping on Venezuela because it's an example that, I mean, with Russian listeners, I would probably point to, you know, Russia in the 20s and 30s. But here, Venezuela. Who thought in Venezuela in the late 90s that, you know, they were going to be eating animals from the zoo,
right,
and eating stray dogs and stray cats? And, you know, the pharmacies would have like one bottle of aspirin if you're lucky. I mean, if you tell that to Venezuela, which was the richest country in South America, by the way, you know, 20 some years ago, they would laugh in your face. Impossible. I mean, look at them now. So to anyone who thinks that like all these stupid things are a joke, I mean, they are a joke, but it's a very serious joke because, yes, they will come for you. Okay, they really will come for you for something.
Well, George, we're going to have to leave it there for today. You're on fire, man.
And we have so much more to talk about.
And you need to get back writing for American Greatness. I haven't seen anything from you in a couple months. So you either need to do less of your regular work, or you need to get hopping on your American Greatness pieces, because you are truly on fire. We loved having you here today. And I have a little bit of news to share with our listeners. Our new pup, Spark, is doing great. She's a little dog turd machine, I think. I don't know how, but she managed to get a urinary tract infection. So in addition to normal accidental pee storms, we have little pup dribbles all over the house. She's tried to chew on a long list of rugs, shoes, wooden furniture legs, but she's still a keeper. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. We talked about a lot of stuff, some words you don't normally hear on radio.
Probably never will again.
We have a great guest lined up already for next week's show, Rafael Manguel from the Manhattan Institute, talking about law and order. Until next Saturday, happy Super Bowl Sunday coming up tomorrow. Hope your team wins, whoever that may be. This is Bruce Ash and
Eb Wilkinson wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon.
Customers come first at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus.
A lot of the cities and the counties around have initiatives for artists, but I think we're one of the premier artist suppliers for steel. First Saturday of every month, you can come down early and actually go through the scrap yard across the street. It's 7 acres of metal. You can walk through with our people and pick out what you want. It's always interesting to see what the artists have done. We've done actually a couple projects with the U of A engineering department and music department. where the engineering music students came down together. They had to pick something out of the scrap, and they had to build an instrument. And we have one of those in front of the plant. Some really cool things come out of the scrap.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Wouldn't it be great if political leaders could create that country again? Learn how to do exactly that, one family at a time, with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. Call me, Eb Wilkinson. IMUSWilkinson.com, 777-1911, 777-1911.